Good afternoon and welcome to House Labor and Commerce for Wednesday, February 28th. It is 3:19 p.m. Members present are Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, Vice Chair Wool, and myself, Chair Kito. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Representative Stutes is excused today. Today, Susie Edwardson is our recording secretary. Ben Manley is our LIO moderator. Please remember to turn your cell phones off and keep them in silent mode. We have two pieces of legislation coming before us today. House Bill 341, repealing the Athletic Commission Boxing Wrestling Law. And House Bill 350, automated teller machine fees. And that will be in first hearing. We have postponed House Bill 277. That will be heard next week. And so we only have the two items. With that, we will bring House Bill 341, repealing the Athletic Commission, back before committee. And we have Ms. Sarah Chambers online. Ms. Chambers, if you wanted to place your name and affiliation on the record and you're available for questions, let us know if you have anything else you wanted to add regarding the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Sarah Chambers, Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, and I am available to answer questions and if anything comes up to be a resource to the committee today.
Okay, thank you. And do we have any questions for Ms. Chambers? We got a pretty good explanation last time around, and we did work with Mr. Christensen and understand his concerns about the Muhammad Ali Commission, but it seems as though that might be a bridge we can put off. We might not need to actually deal with that, and we haven't had to deal with that since 1997. So if it does become an issue, it's definitely something that I think the legislature would be interested in weighing in on. So public testimony is still open. I don't see anybody signed up for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on House Bill 341? Seeing no one, we will close public testimony at 3:21 p.m. Brings the bill back before us. Do we have anybody that has some comments they'd like to provide on the Athletic Commission bill? Seeing none, Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move HB 341 version 30-GH2808/A be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection to the motion as stated? Seeing none, House Bill 341 has passed from House Labor and Commerce. We will take a brief at ease and sign our bill paperwork. We are back on the record at 3:25 p.m. in House Labor and Commerce. We are now bringing House Bill 350 before committee, automated teller machines. Representative Ortiz, if you can come forward, and Ms. Hamp as well, if you can place your name and affiliations on the record and then provide us with your bill introduction, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Ortiz. I'm District 36 representative.
Thank you.
Hi, Chairman Kito. I'm Caroline Hamp, staff representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for agreeing to hear House Bill 350. And this is a simple bill, and the intent of it is to allow retail automatic teller machines to charge with a withdrawal fee on transactions made by international bank card holders. Currently, there is no legal requirement for independently owned ATMs to charge a fee on transactions made by international card holders. Our current law only pertains to ATMs owned by state-sponsored banks or credit unions and does not include retail and individually owned ATMs. Because of this gap, retail ATMs cannot charge a withdrawal fee on transactions from bank cards outside of the United States. Alaska welcomes millions of visitors each year, with a large percentage of those visitors from out of the country. In the summer of 2016 alone, there were nearly 300,000 international visitors that came to Alaska. Retail ATM owners cannot charge fees on these tourist transactions. Often, in order to make up for that lost revenue, Mr. Chairman, they increase their fee for those who do pay the surcharge fee, which leads to domestic card users paying a higher fee than international card users. Multiple states have already passed laws to close this gap and allow retail ATM owners to charge a transaction fee to international card users. This particular bill does have the support. You'll see a support letter there in your packets from, I believe, the organization is called the National ATM Council, and it does not have any opposition from the locally state-sponsored banks, you know, the Wells Fargo's and places like that. They do not oppose this bill.
Any questions for the bill sponsor?
Yeah, I have one.
Representative Knopf.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. So, it's kind of odd to me. So in your first line, you said there's currently no legal requirement for independently to charge a fee. But really, you're saying there is a prohibition against it? Is there currently a prohibition?
Evidently, it's my understanding, through the chair, Representative Cobb, it's my understanding that single ATM owners not affiliated with banks cannot charge fees to international cardholders.
That's kind of what I was getting at. So when they crafted the law, they were specific in saying if you're state-sponsored or credit unions, it's okay, but retail and private ATMs are not. And I just, and I'm not questioning, I'm going to support it, don't get me wrong, but I read that, and it just didn't make sense to me that, you know, you talked about a requirement, but you didn't talk about a prohibition, and then it just seems odd that they would craft the law. And if they did, I was wondering why they would do so. That's all. And I'm just more of an information gathering.
Appreciate the question, Representative Knopf. And I'm going to have Caroline Hamp, who's more familiar with this particular part of the bill, to answer your question.
Ms. Hamp.
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, when the statutes were written about 20 years ago, retail ATMs just weren't really a thing. They're relatively new technology, and so the gap in law was not, meant to harm future endeavors for retail ATMs. They just didn't know that this would be an issue in the future.
Thank you. Representative Birch?
I just had a question on so this would be like if something an ATM you'd find at a bar or a grocery store or not at a bank or something. So I guess through the chair, does not that vendor have an opportunity just to say I'm not willing to accept that card? It seems to me I've gone when you use a card and it's out of the network that it comes up and says, oh, we're going to charge you $5 to or some amount of money in order to, if you want to, withdraw a cash withdrawal from your ATM, don't they have can't they reserve a right to say, I just don't know. I mean, to say we are, we won't respond to that request?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, I think if I understand your question, are you saying is it within the rights of the, let's say the machine is in a bar, let's say, for that. Sure. Is it within the rights of the bar owner just not to accept the card? Is that what you're asking me?
Right. In other words, if there's nothing to be realized, would it, I've seen places where they won't take my card, so I just, by the reciprocal arrangement, it seems to me like if you can't get paid for your services, it seems like you would reserve the right to deny service to a person packing that card in a foreign country, from where they're traveling.
Through the chair, Representative Birch, I think the issue there would be that they would be, in effect, turning away business and then forcing that person who was in the bar to go to another, to find another location, let's say a less convenient vocation, to force them to find a bank or something like that. So in the end, this would allow them to, if this bill were to be passed, it would allow that bar owner to profit from an international visitor to his bar that might want to use that car in his bar, and by simply saying no, he probably could, but at the same time, the machine was probably just not accepted, but at the same time, they would be then losing business, forcing the person to go elsewhere, those kinds of things.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, question from Representative Bull and then Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, Representative Ortiz, I have to declare conflict of interest. I own a private ATM, but and my experience is that people use my ATM, and I have no idea what kind of card they use and whether they get processed or not. I don't stand around each person's transaction. If they do get a transaction, I assume I'm getting paid as I get paid from all of them. But if I'm not, if the out of country cards are getting rejected, then I would like to be able to not have them rejected. Or if they're not getting charged, I'd like to be able to get them charged. I guess the only thing I would ask, and as an owner of a private ATM, if I was suddenly able to charge a foreign card holder, I'm not honestly going to lower the rates for the other cards. I'm just going to take in more money, which I'm okay with. So I do support this. I'm just saying,
through the chair, Representative Wohl, appreciate your honesty with that comment.
And
further question
For the committee, we do have, and Representative Sullivan Letter, we do also have Christy Naylor with the Banking and Securities Division. So if there are any other more technical questions, perhaps we can bring her on. So Representative Sullivan Letter.
Thank you, through the chair. Representative Ortiz, I've tried to do a little bit of homework on this and trying to figure out how the international or foreign ATM fees are applied with the private ATM machines. And in doing so, I've been able to see that, for example, tourists that come to Alaska, if they make a transaction at a private ATM, they are charged a particular fee from their bank to do so. It can be anywhere from $5 to $10 plus 3% interest. So if we then charge them on top of that, that's kind of tough on visitors that we want to have come here and spend their money here, isn't it?
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, that is a good question, I'm just going to venture an answer to this, but I would think that, again, a seasoned traveler would be aware. For example, I'm aware when I go to an individual teller, I see that there is the charge that goes to the individual owner, and I also see a charge that goes to the bank. I know that my bank charges on that transaction as well. And I guess the answer to the question would be they have a decision. They don't have to use that particular bank machine. They could go to another location. If they were then told that they were going to have this fee charged on them, they could choose to go somewhere else if they wanted to. So
yeah, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Well, exactly, but I'm sure it's the convenience aspect that any business that has a private ATM would want to bestow upon those visiting their establishment. The other question, I've got actually quite a few, but I'll just stick with two right now. So the other question was, you referred to various states that already have this type of policy or legislation in statutes. How many states do we have that have that as a passed piece of legislation?
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, we have heard from the National Council of ATMs that we are the last state to have this law gap, so that 49 other states have done something about it. I have not read all 49 other statutes, but I have searched, and of the ones that I have seen, I have not found yet a state that doesn't have a law that closes this gap.
Thank you. Representative.
As a follow-up through the chair, Representative Leonard, I think you have a letter of support there from the ASH National ATM Council, and in the third paragraph down, it says, to our knowledge, Alaska is the only state left with this unintentional restriction in its state law.
Thank you. And let's go ahead and get Ms. Naylor on the record. Ms. Naylor, can you place your name and affiliation on the record for us, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is Christy Naylor. I'm the acting director of the State Division of Banking and Securities.
Thank you. And do you have anything specific you want to add? I do have a question, but did you have anything specific you wanted to say about the bill before I get to my question?
No, I'm open to questions.
Okay. And so my question, I guess we had some question as to
where the limitation is, and I'm not sure if this is beyond your current knowledge, being relatively new to the position, but is there some restriction someplace in either state or federal law that is prohibiting this action right now?
Mr. Chair, I'm not. We've done some research on this, and we haven't been able to find anything in state law that prohibits this type of a fee being charged. This is proposed to be in Title VI, which the division oversees, and we only actually have jurisdiction over state chartered financial institutions, which would be banks and credit unions. So it doesn't extend to federal institutions such as Wells Fargo or federal credit unions, and then it also wouldn't extend over private ATM owners or private citizens.
So just for clarification, our state rules are not in a position to provide any regulation of a privately owned ATM or of a federal banking institution. Is that correct?
Through the chair, not in the banking code.
Okay.
So we don't have jurisdiction over federal banks or private citizens.
Okay. Thank you. And Representative Sullivan Leonard has a question.
Thank you. Through the chair, just a real quick question. Would we want parameters around this particular bill so that somebody comes in to use an international card at a private ATM, they're not going to be charged $20 per transaction? I guess I'm just trying to figure out if there's
Golden Leonard, was that for me?
Yes, Ms. Naylor,
I'm sorry.
If you could.
Yes, please.
Okay. So currently in state law, the state financial institutions, there's very brief discussion on ATMs, and there is a statute for credit unions and one for banks, and it says essentially that they're allowed to have ATMs, but they may share them between financial institutions, and if they're seized, they just have to be disclosed. It doesn't speak to the question of whether a fee is set at $1 or $10. If that were to be the case, at least for the, if they were to set parameters, there may be some administrative cost to our agency associated with that we would have to oversee that type of a program where we would need to keep track of everyone's ATMs and their fees and how they're charging. I wouldn't take a position on that either way, but just to let you know that there would be something associated with that because it would be a new piece of oversight that we don't currently have.
Okay, and Representative Ortiz, did you want to respond?
And through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, I would think that would be an issue that we trust the market to take care of. In other words, if you're a single ATM owner in a bar, you know that you can't get too carried away because, you know, they're going to recognize a higher fee than what they, because the fee has to be disclosed, they're going to recognize that, wait a minute, this is $20 versus the $4 or $5 that I normally pay, and it would cause me anyway to maybe look down the block for a different ATM machine is what I would do in that situation.
Representative Torres, I guess one of the, and this is not part of the bill, but it's just one of those things that I've seen that has come up, and there are issues with respect to some businesses that I have been to that have had private ATMs where you're not within walking distance of another ATM, and you either, if you need cash, spend whatever they're asking for, which is a concern if you're getting $20 out and it costs $5, that seems to be a problem. But anyway, Representative Wool has a question.
Well, I was just going to say that, thank you, Mr. Chair, to partially address Representative Sullivan Leonard's point is that, for example, on the machine that I own, when you go to make a transaction, it right away says what the fee is going to be. I imagine that's a standard fee, no matter what kind of card, even if it's a foreign or domestic card. I don't think it can differentiate a different fee schedule. This would just ensure that someone can charge a foreign card, right? I mean, I'm assuming it was one standard fee, and it's the stated fee on the screen. It won't say $2.50 transaction fee, unless you're from Canada, then it's $18. I don't see that happening, but
how about Russia? Can we do it to them? Just joking.
And also, if it's priced too high, then they wouldn't make the transaction. Yes.
Thank you, Representative Josephson.
Following up with Representative Wool's comment, if it doesn't differentiate, that would suggest that we're not complying with some requirement now, that there is a fee. Is that what's going on? That a fee is being charged and we haven't crossed our T and allowed for that charge to occur?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, to my knowledge, this whole initiative was brought forward to me by a constituent who is a individual ATM owner, and basically what he has told me is that no, they're on international transactions, there is no fee that they can collect.
Right.
So that's only the single owner of an ATM. It's, you know, if an international traveler goes into a Wells Fargo, they do pay a fee. But for whatever reason, and I think Ms. Hamm spoke about this earlier, when ATMs were just starting to be, you know, put into the different banks and things like that, there weren't many or any single owners, so somehow they were just left out of this process. So to answer your question, I would think that no, that in fact it's not the fact that there's fees being charged to international bank card users illegally, it's just that they're not being charged, and so individual business owners are losing out on prospective fees that they would collect from people within the United States, but not people from outside the United States.
Okay. Follow up. New question, really. On the fiscal note, it says the Division of Banking Securities does not regulate ATMs. I guess my question is, and I apologize if it was answered, but who does? Who does in the event something goes awry and someone needs recourse?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, perhaps that would be a question for the person who is...
Ms. Naylor, do you know who regulates ATMs or if there is any regulation of ATMs in the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, to the extent that it's not one of the limited things that we regulate for the state's chartered financial institutions, there may be federal law that pertains to the state banks and also the federal banks. But as far as private citizens are concerned, I'm not aware of anybody that regulates them.
Okay, just to follow up. So if a machine took a card and didn't dispense cash and return the card, which would be a problem, the card owner would go to the business owner, I suppose.
I mean, there's... Chair Representative Josephson, that would be my assumption as well.
Yeah, Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to address this question to Representative Wool here. So I also reached out to a friend who owns private ATMs, and what he told me was, in fact, that any card that goes in his machine, he doesn't scrutinize him, he doesn't see him. He said anything that goes in that machine is assessed a fee. Now, what I don't know, and my question is, I think them are all tied to a processing service center somewhere. And so although he thinks that maybe there is a fee being assessed, I'm not so sure that it's being paid through that process center. Would that be fair? Do you think that would be – he's thinking that, in fact, it's being assessed, probably is being assessed on his machine, but as payment comes through, would a guy have a way of knowing that if the processing centers – they would probably be the only ones that would know if it's an international card or a domestic card.
Through the chair to Representative Knopp. My experience with my machine is people go up to it, they use it, they get charged a fee. At the end of every month, I get a check from the processing company based on how many transactions. I have no idea which bank they use, or they're not itemized. There's probably a report I can print out on my machine that will give me a list of all the individual transactions. But as far as I know, I get a flat fee for each transaction. And occasionally people say my card doesn't work on this machine. That may be because of the type of card or the bank, and I don't know. And then the processor gives me that exact fee, and then they charge the bank the bank charges the cardholder, and then that's how the processor gets paid. But so the people are getting charged twice, once by the ATM owner and the other time by their bank.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for the bill sponsor or the department? Seeing none at this time, I will open up public testimony, 3:47 p.m. And I do not have anybody signed up for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none, we will leave public testimony open on House Bill 350, and this bill will come back before us at some point in the near future. And we do not have, so we're coming up to the end of our meeting today. We do not have a meeting Friday or Saturday of this week. And next Monday, we have three pieces of legislation up before us: House Bill 309, rejecting the Officers' Compensation Commission report; House Bill 277, broadband internet neutrality regulation; House Bill 353, Maryland Family Therapy License Services. And I will just let everyone know that my staff, Caitlin, will be working on getting the meeting materials out as soon as they are all available and ready. So committee members will have them before the meeting on Monday. And with that, no further business to come before Labor and Commerce. At this time, we'll stand adjourned at 3:48 p.m. Thank you.